Well, it is a new year. And with this new year, we are launching in. Normally, we do our missions conference in February, but we have requested from the Christian Missionary Alliance that we back our missions conference up into January so that we could have, just launching right off into the new year, a real focus on reaching outward, reaching to the uttermost parts of the earth, even to the ends of the earth. So if you would take out your outlines, we are going to be talking about, over these next several weeks, not only our responsibility, but our opportunity to reach to the ends of the earth in the name of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to introduce some ideas perhaps to you for the first time. For some of you, this might be a little bit of a retread, a reminder of our role in the kingdom of God. Why did God leave us here on earth? Was it so that we could learn how to worship better? Because it seems to me that worship in heaven will be much better than it is here on earth. Is it so we can know a whole lot about Jesus? Certainly it's valuable to do Bible study. But it strikes me that the Bible says that someday we will know as we are known by Him. That means that we are going to know all the answers that we've ever wanted to know once we get to see Jesus face to face. So it can't possibly, you weren't left here just for knowledge. Were you left here so that you could have a lot of fun with other Christians? Well, certainly that's a part of why you are here. You are here for the fellowship, to be part of the body that is Jesus Christ, even the smaller body that is Long Beach Alliance, this family that we have here. But isn't fellowship in heaven going to be greater than this? Aren't we going to have an even greater time in eternity future? Isn't heaven going to be extraordinary? Yes, the Bible says. All these things are true. Then why? Why doesn't a person, when they are saved by Jesus Christ, truly saved, I mean, God takes hold of their life and transforms them, regenerates them, as the Bible says. They are baptized in the Holy Spirit, renewed from the inside out. Why doesn't God just, boom, zap you right off the earth at that point? Why doesn't He take you? Why would He leave you here? Is it so that you can take up holy space? Is it so that you can be part of this church? Is it so that you can learn more in Bible study? Is it so that you can worship? We get distracted by these things, thinking they are a central purpose of sort. But I believe that God describes in His Scriptures that glorifying God in the ultimate sense has to do with these subjects that we're going to talk about over these next several weeks. How do you live a life of lasting purpose as long as you're going to be staying here on earth? And as far as I know, you all are staying here on earth for right now. And so how do you live a life of lasting purpose? I believe that you have been left here with a message that Jesus Christ has reached into your life and has been authenticated in you, and that you have been left here to share that message with other people. You've been left here to share about Jesus Christ with other people. I believe that you can do a lot of things better in heaven in the future, and you get a little taste of those here on earth. But as far as evangelism goes, there will be no evangelism in heaven. There will be no sharing about Jesus in heaven. There will be no sitting down with your neighbor who doesn't know about God and sharing with them about God. There will be no sitting around being convinced about the glory of God, because you'll be basking in the glory of God at all times. The fact is that when you go to heaven, you will have no more opportunity to share the great news about Jesus with people that do not know. Are you convinced that it's great news? We're going to talk about that this month. A lot of us walk around saying that it's good news, saying that it's great news, but then we don't share it with anybody. We're not really convinced that people that don't know about Jesus Christ are going to be headed to hell, that their future is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Because we're not convinced of that very much, or we ignore that for the most part, we never share with them about the great news that we are on a life-saving mission to share with people about Jesus. That anybody who has not heard, or anybody that maybe has heard but has not been convinced, must hear again and again and again about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This month, we're going to be concentrating on missionaries, Christian missionaries. A Christian missionary, number one, letter A, is one who is sent by God to spread the gospel. The gospel is a word in Scripture which means good news. The good news is specifically about Jesus Christ, about his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, about what he has created from the beginning and what he will provide in the end. It's the whole of Scripture. Jesus Christ is the scarlet thread that runs from Genesis 1:1 all through the end of Revelation. It's all about Jesus, and he is the good news. A missionary is a person who is sent into a world, into a culture, into a location to share about Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of this. He is the ultimate missionary. He was the ultimate missionary to mankind. John 17, he said, this is in his high priestly prayer. As he's praying to God, he says, I have manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything that you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they receive them, and they understand that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. Jesus Christ was the ultimate, sent by God, missionary, into the world to share with us the great news. The great news that God has not left us hopeless, but that God has provided a Redeemer. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ, and by faith and trust, by responding to him, by having faith and trust in Jesus, you too can have a relationship with God. This is the great news, and Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. We know that people were sent as missionaries in the New Testament. Acts 13, earlier in this number one, letter A, talks about it. Barnabas and Saul, set them apart for me, for a work that I have called them to. And what did the church do? They fasted, they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And they sent them out. See, our fasting and our prayer next week, they're not just because we want to do something like tricky to focus on missions. Distinctively biblical, distinctively part of what the church has always done. Fasted and prayed and sought the Lord. Of course, you might be thinking to yourself, isn't everybody a missionary? Isn't everybody in the Bible supposed to share about Jesus? Well, there's certainly some truth to this. All followers of Christ are called to live missional lives. Jesus Christ says that we're to go and bear fruit. John 15, 16. The Great Commission, found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. God has certainly sent each one of us out to be missional people. In fact, we are called ambassadors. That's the verse that's at the top of the page there. It says, to the ends of the earth, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us or brought us back to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He does not count our trespasses against us. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of... Do you see that? We beg you. We are ambassadors and we are begging you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Verse 21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a great verse. What a great capstone to those verses that are listed there. We are called to live exemplary lives. This is the funny part. I think we get distracted. We get distracted by this living an exemplary life in this life. We get distracted by, maybe the lifestyle choices that I make matter. Maybe the lifestyle choices that I make, maybe they're important. And we get sidetracked by this. We decide that, well, you know what? It's really important that I don't swear. The Bible says that I'm not supposed to use coarse language. It's really important that I'm not someone that slanders or talks badly about others, because clearly the Bible says I'm not supposed to, say that kind of stuff. And I can't gossip. The Bible says we're not supposed to be gossips. I can't be jealous. I can't be angry. I got to do all these things so that I will be a good Christian, because by being a good Christian, I'm making God happy, right? And then Chris stands up there and says, nothing you do could ever make God any happier than he already is with you. Well, then what's the point? Why am I working so hard at being such a good person? I mean, really, I can just be a bad person and just ask God for forgiveness, and it's all good anyway, right? I mean, we're fine, right? We lose focus on our purpose, and we lose the whole of the Christian life. If we lose focus on why we do what we do, we lose why we are participating in the body of Christ in the first place. We are not called to do good things so that we can be better people, so that God would be happier, and that we would all just be happy with our clean living. That sounds more like a club to me. That sounds more like a club that got together and made a bunch of rules and decided, you know, we're just going to be the clean living club. We're going to be the clean living club, and we're going to do clean things. We're not going to say bad things. We're not going to do bad things. We're not going to drink bad things. We're not going to eat bad things. We're not going to say bad things. We're going to dress in nice things. We're going to be the nice club, and we're going to do nice, clean living things. But that's not why God has called us to live lives that are obedient and exemplary for the world around us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. It should be up on the screen, I'm hoping. Yes? Oh, good. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent amongst the Gentiles. Now, that's code in the Bible. Gentiles means those that do not know Jesus. Keep your behavior excellent amongst those that do not know Jesus, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, in other words, they look at you and say, why do you do that? That is so stupid. You're just judging me. Oh, have you ever heard that? You're just judging me. The way you act, the way you say things, the way you talk about my lifestyle, you're judging me. In the thing in which you are slandered as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's the day of judgment. That's when Jesus returns. That they would glorify God, that they would observe you and the way that you live and the things that you do, and they would say that you live for a higher purpose, not just yourself, not just the good of mankind, but that you live for something deeper, something that has more purpose to it, and that they themselves would actually be drawn by your behavior. See, your behavior is not so that you would be a good person, so that you could be part of the clean living club. Your behavior is so that you could reflect Jesus, and hopefully some that don't know him would learn about him from the way that you live. That means that you have to live in such a way that publicly people could perceive that you actually stand by the things that are in Scripture. Continue, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Whose sake? Your sake? My sake? Our sake? Jesus' sake. Jesus Christ is Lord, the name above all names. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, to the government, to Obama, to Barbara Boxer, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. We are to be supportive, pray for those that are in leadership. Not slander, not gossip, not rail them down. Support them. Stand by what is right. Stand by what is scriptural. Call our leaders to holiness. We should be part of that. Not supporting evil, but supporting the punishment of evil. Why? Because it's for the Lord's sake. It glorifies God. For such is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men, that they would see the value of right living. Act as free men. In other words, you are not under a burden. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bondslave to God, or as a servant, an ultimate servant of God. This is the purpose of an exemplary life, that it would authenticate you as an ambassador of Jesus to the world around you. Living a purposefully missional life is the only thing a follower of Christ can do better on earth than in heaven, is living a missional lifestyle. How you doing? How are you doing? Honestly, can you look at your life and say, yes, I am living a missional lifestyle for my neighbors, for my classmates, for my teachers, for my parents, for my children, for my family, for my coworkers. I am living a missional lifestyle. I am living a life. Letter D, top of the next page. I am living a life of lasting purpose. What does that mean? Well, I'll take you back to that Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. There's a singular verb in this passage, and it means make disciples. If you look at it, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That making disciples, that's the action. That's who we're supposed to be, making disciples. Are we supposed to just share about Jesus? No. We're supposed to make disciples. Are we supposed to just do Bible study in order to build people? No, that's just part of making disciples. Are we supposed to be sending? No, that's just part. Are we supposed to go? That's just part of it. See, making disciples, it's the whole of this Christian life. That's who we're supposed to be. It's what we're supposed to do. Jesus Christ, the last thing that he had to say to mankind was this: go and make disciples. Make disciples. This is what we're supposed to be about. We're not supposed to just be about Bible study. We're not supposed to just be about worship and singing. We're not supposed to just be about coming to church and doing Awana and doing Bible studies and doing all the stuff that is involved here at church. We're supposed to be making disciples the whole of the Christian life. Evangelism, seeing people saved, growing deeper, being equipped to be sent out, being missionaries, going and preaching the word themselves. We're supposed to be actively involved in the whole of that. There are three words that modify this verb, maker of disciples. They are the going, the baptizing, and the teaching. In other words, as you make disciples, you are to go, you are to baptize, and you are to teach. This is what we are to be actively involved with, each one of us as individuals. It's an investment in true riches. Remember those verses? I love them. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And I love this last part. It's so upside down for us. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We live in a world that says, where your heart is, make your investment. And the Bible says, no. No, make your investment in right things, and your heart will fall in love with those things because they're of the Lord. That's the way God's designed us. It's the way he's wired us. That if we would just participate in those good things that he has provided to us, it will be an investment in the riches that he has for us. This is an investment in true riches, making disciples. Are you a disciple maker? Are you a disciple who makes disciples? Is that the passion of your life? Amongst this group of disciple makers, some, maybe only a few, are called. They're separated. They're chosen to fulfill a special role within the ranks of the church. And that role is known as a missionary. Barnabas and Paul were called by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 13. They were separated out of the rest of the body, and there were thousands of them, thousands in that body. And they were separated out, and the Holy Spirit said, I need you to set aside those two guys for me. And they are to be missionaries. They are going to go and take the news about Jesus Christ into the Gentile or the unbelieving world. It was a very, very difficult task. And that's why I call missionaries kind of the Green Berets. They go where no one else goes. Now, I know some of you are members of special forces from other ranks. Okay, you can fill in your rank or your division, all right? If you want to be, you know, go Navy SEALs. I don't care. Okay, they're the elite. They're the big time. They're Delta Force, Green Beret, Ranger, whatever you want to call it. These are our missionaries. They are selected out of the body of disciple makers, all of us who are living these missional lives, and they are set apart to go into the crazy places to spread the word of God. And you are going to have the honor of meeting a couple of them in the upcoming weeks. The missionary that's speaking next Sunday, we can't even tell you where he's from because it would be a danger to him, his family, the ministry, and to the other Christians in the region that he lives in the world. That's how out there this guy is. He is living in a dangerous place, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. These guys and women that are missionaries, those who are sent, are often appointed to difficult locations and to circumstances which are very, very difficult. This has been true from the very beginning. In Scripture, you'll see that they were under affliction, hardship, distress, 2 Corinthians 6:4 through 10, and Acts 13, 50 through 51. They suffered for their call, and it required tremendous dependence on God. Philippians 1, 12 through 21, these verses are unbelievable as they just proclaim how they have to tolerate imprisonment, slander from other people because their role is not understood in leadership. Their words are misinterpreted. Their motives are questioned. Their leadership is challenged. As they stand and lead and proclaim the word of God, these are the accusations that are leveled against them. And what is their conclusion? That it is their earnest expectation and hope that Christ's name would be exalted. That's all I care about. In the midst of these kinds of distresses, they just pray that Christ's name is exalted. It's one of the great short summaries of the Apostle Paul's life is in 2 Corinthians 11, 21 to 29. And he's talking about the things that he suffers. And it reveals some of the amazing hardships and the effort which are required for missionary work. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 11, 24. Start in verse 24, if you would. 5 times, Paul says, I received from the Jews 39 lashes. The death penalty was 40. So 39 means he got beat within an inch of his life. 5 different times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Okay, yeah, never mind. I'm not even going to go into all the detail on it. Just assume that being beaten with a rod is not, you know, like whipped with a cane, all right? It's you're getting beaten up with a stick. I was stoned. That's not like a smoking reference. That's actually, he had rocks thrown at him, okay, until he thought he was dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night, or a night and a day, I've spent in the deep. We're not even totally sure what that means. We assume that means that he was out in the ocean and near death, perhaps even in a coma kind of state where he was just out for the count. I have been on frequent journeys, Paul says, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my countrymen, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger on the sea, danger amongst false brethren. I have been in labor, I have been in hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, without food and cold and exposure. And apart from these external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all of the churches. Who is weak amongst them without me being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? Paul says. This is the burden of the missionary. And these people that have been set apart are amazing champions of the gospel. They work tirelessly for the sake of the gospel. And you got to know this. You are part of an alliance of churches called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You are part of an alliance of churches that has gathered together to spread the great news about Jesus to the ends of the earth. And this alliance of churches has got over 900 of these missionary workers in over 81 countries. You may not have even known that. You may not even know that by virtue of being here at the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, that sounds like a cult group of some sort. You know, it's like, what? Where does that come? Missionary and alliance? What alliance of what? Alliance with who? That sounds kind of suspicious to me. That's kind of weird sounding. I mean, what do you tell your friends? What church do you go to? Oh, boy. The Alliance Church. The alliance of what? You know, I don't know. It's the alliance of something. Hey, you're an alliance of churches that are reaching the world with the great news about Jesus Christ. And we send missionaries. We send Green Berets all around the world to go to the hardest places on earth, where the gospel is rejected more bitterly, where people's lives are in danger for preaching or even speaking the name of Jesus. We send them to those locations. We equip them. We build into them. We make sure they are ready. And then we send them. And oftentimes we send them with their children. Jason and Carolina Cusick are a great example of missionaries that have been sent out by the Christian Missionary Alliance. Many of you know them because they are a part of our own fellowship. They are amongst those 900 workers in 81 countries around the world. They are fulfilling to seek the Great Commission. One of the words I love in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 is go. Part of making disciples is going. Part of it is baptizing. Part of it is teaching. But part of it is going. We oftentimes think that if we're going to reach the world for Christ, that we should prepare our church so that when they come in the front doors, we're ready for them. I got news for you. They don't come to church. They're not going to come through the front door. It's pretty rare that somebody just wakes up or has an urge inside of their heart and just says, you know what? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to a church that preaches the Word of God. And I'm going to find out about this Jesus fellow. I want to know more about him. And then they show up here on a Sunday morning and they sit down next to you in the pew and they turn to you and they say, who is this Jesus that guy up there is speaking about? And then you get the opportunity to share. You don't bring them to me, don't you dare. You tell them about Jesus yourself. But the chances of that happening in the pew are what? I mean, how many times has that happened to you? Does that happen very often to you? It probably doesn't. That might be a once in a lifetimer right there. People that don't know Jesus don't generally show up at church. People that don't know Jesus have to be gone to. We have to go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing and teaching along the way. We teach as we go. We baptize as we go. But as we make disciples, we've got to go. And this is what missionaries do. They go. You know, most missionaries, letter B of number three, have to work. I'm speaking to missionaries outside of our own denomination. There's missionaries in all kinds of different churches. Some people are just independent missionaries. They just packed it up and went to a foreign country. Most missionaries work with great effort to raise their own support. Much in the same way that it's detailed in Scripture, that a worker is worth his wages kind of thing. They have to raise their support. And as they are sent, the way that Paul and Barnabas were, they took a collection and gave it to Paul and Barnabas, and whoosh, out they go. And then Paul and Barnabas, you know, they worked along the way. We see that detailed right there in 1 Corinthians 9. But most missionaries have to do fundraising. They come home on something called furloughs from the field. They come home and they tour around all their supporting churches and they stand up front and they say, here are all the great things that are going on. Here are some slides. Have you ever seen a missionary slideshow? If you've been in the church for more than a year, you've seen a missionary slideshow. Here's some neato slides and here's some stuff that we found. You know, I've got like, ooh, look, this is a spear from deepest, darkest Africa. And we all, you know, like you little kids are like, wow, you know, could I chuck that at my friend? All this kind of stuff. And we do this in the church and it's meant to encourage people to connect with what's going on overseas. It seems that it is not enough that we are spreading the great news of Jesus Christ to the othermost parts of the earth. Many, many missionaries have to go to great lengths to fundraise. And the worst part is the best communicators end up being the best supported. And some of the poor communicators, they kind of limp along because their communications are not good. They're not savvy with the communications. They don't make great videos. They don't own Macs or something. You know, they're stuck. They're lost trying to communicate. And I, this is a general observation, but I don't know that all missionaries are necessarily the greatest of communicators. I don't know that all the people that I've met that are overseas are necessarily fantastic at communication. I don't know if they're fantastic at fundraising, but they're great missionaries. And they deserve to be supported as well as the greatest communicator that is out there. I don't think it's the role of a missionary to have to bear the burden of what they're doing all by themselves. I don't think that's what God intended. I don't think that's what we should do. And again, you are blessed. You are blessed because this alliance of churches that belong together, the Christian Missionary Alliance, all of our missionaries, their basic needs, not all their needs, but their basics, you know, food, clothing, housing, stuff like that, their basic needs are provided for them. We take a lot of time before we choose missionaries. We train them really thoroughly. We're very careful in our selection process. There's a very intensive vetting process that exists. So that when we send out a missionary, we're not just saying, okay, you've got our stamp of approval. You're part of this alliance of churches. You're part of this alliance around the world, the Christian Missionary Alliance. We're saying, we're going to pay for your stuff. We're going to pay for your basic needs. We're going to pay for your food. We're going to, so that you don't have to worry about it. Good communicator, bad communicator. I mean, they try to help them be good communicators, but it doesn't matter. What we want to do is say, we feel like God's blessing is on your life. God's stamp is on your life. You are a genuine missionary. We are sending you out, and we don't want you to have to worry about all this stuff of fundraising back at home. We want you to engage yourselves 100% in the work of being a missionary. There's a lot to deal with. There will be beatings. There will be attempts on your life. There will be difficulties. There will be things beyond your comprehension. You're going to have to raise your kids in a place where they're learning like three different languages at one time. It's just going to be difficult. It is going to be hard. And we don't want you to have to worry about all of this money stuff. So you see it on the envelopes every week. We have something called the Great Commission Fund. Oh, Great Commission. That's that Matthew 28:19-20. Go, teach, baptize while making disciples, or vice versa, make disciples and do those other things. And we support all these missionaries through this Great Commission Fund. It's a fund administrated by the Christian Missionary Alliance for supporting the basic needs of our missionary corps all around the world. We support our missionaries through the Great Commission Fund. You might support other missionaries. I do. Melinda and I do. We support missionaries from different organizations and different groups. But our primary focus, the lion's share of our giving, goes for missions towards the Great Commission Fund every year. And every January, or every missions conference, I should say, we make a little pledge that we believe God will provide for us. Well, we'll be asking you about that in a few weeks. What money has God stirred you and your family toward for supporting the missions work of this alliance of churches to reach the world with the good news about Jesus Christ? See, you may not be one of those that's going to be sent. I mean, you might be. My little 10-year-old daughter wants to be a missionary. But, you know, I wanted to be a baseball player. So I'm not holding her to it. She might grow up and things might change. She went to a Shamu show one time and then she wanted to be a whale trainer. So I'm open, you know. I'm not pinning her in just because she's the pastor's kid. But, you know, it seems like one of the lasting things that she really wants is to be a missionary. And so we always invite the missionaries over. Invite them over for dinner and she's got a list of questions. She makes a list of questions. Poor guy. Just gets hammered every time, you know. She wants to know all these different things. Her other sister, a little ambivalent. But at least the older one really wants to know about this missions thing. So there might be some, in other words, amongst us that are going to be sent. You might find yourself wandering around in this life wondering, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And perhaps God is going to answer that question this month. Perhaps God is calling you to be a missionary. Perhaps God is calling you to go where some of these other old, bald, married people can't or won't. But to those of you that are older, perhaps so established that you cannot leave here, Perhaps some of you who are resistant to going anywhere yourselves. Perhaps some of you who are kind of new to this whole idea, then I would call on you to be great senders, to be great supporters. One of the reasons that the special forces of the United States military is so good is because they are given the best equipment that money can buy. In the same way, one of the reasons that the Christian and Missionary Alliance has been so effective in their missionary work traditionally is because we support our missionaries and we do not allow them to worry about some of life's most basic needs. We don't want them to get that envelope in the mail that says, "Hey, I know I was one of your primary supporters, but I have fallen on hard times. I can't send any more money." Boom. Now they can't pay rent. That's a distraction to the work of being a missionary. We don't want our missionaries to deal with that kind of stuff. We have found an effective manner through the Great Commission Fund. And so I would call on the lion's share of you that are in this room this morning to consider how you can be a great sender in supporting Jesus Christ's Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Will you support those who are sent? These that we send out to the front lines. These that you are going to meet in the next couple of weeks. Will you be a great sender as part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance? Will you not just sit back and watch it happen? Will you engage? Perhaps you cannot go yourself. Perhaps that is not what God has called you to. It is not what God has called me to. God has called me to be here as a shepherd over the flock at Long Beach Alliance. But I will be a great sender so that I can support those that are on the front lines of missionary work in places that are extremely difficult and where encouragement is tough to come by. I do not want them to worry about life's basic needs. I want them to know that we are supporting them back here at home. I know some of you, as we arc our way towards our communion time, remembering Jesus, remembering his great missionary journey to reach you and I know some of you see Missions Conference because, I've been here a long time. I was here as a youth pastor, and now I've been here as a lead pastor, and I know some of you perceive this as like a little bit of a vacation. It's a vacation from the norm at church. We're going to hear from the missionary speakers, but some of you kind of disappear during this month. You kind of take a little time off. Oh, I don't think I'll be coming to Bible studies. They're just talking about that mission stuff, and I'm just going to feel bad. I'm just going to feel guilty. I'm going to probably drop in more money than I should. I'm going to get all excited about something, and then, oh, what do? You know, I can't do much about all that. And I know what the perception of some is when it comes to this missions conference. Like, this stuff is boring. It's not as exciting as, you know, talking about us, talking about what way God can make me a better, clean living person. Could I implore you to engage the mission of God in this world? Can you think of any other reason why you have been left here, other than to glorify the name of God through reaching people with the great news about Jesus Christ? The Bible explicitly says that when we are able to reach people with the great news about Jesus, that God himself is glorified in transforming a non-believer who is going to go to hell and doesn't know anything about God, that God is most glorified by transforming them into a follower of his, a child, adopting them into his family. That this transference of one who is destined for destruction into one who is destined for eternal life in Jesus Christ, that this glorifies our God. Would you engage that mission yourself during this time? That glorifying God is not just clean living. That glorifying God is not just knowing more about him. That we are to put it into action. And if you come for no other reason than walking up to that missionary and taking them aside, grabbing them by the shoulders and just saying, "Thank you. I cannot go but you can, and I just want to thank you. What you're doing is critically important, and I'm going to find ways to support you. I want to love you. I want to support you. I don't want you to be out there all alone. I'm telling you, it means the world to them. They're going to be here in our midst in the next couple of weeks. I'm calling on you to honor the mission that Jesus Christ has placed all of us on, and honor the missionaries that are coming from the Christian Missionary Alliance to serve and to share with you about what they do. Be drawn not into the excitement of their story, but be drawn into what Jesus Christ is doing in our midst. He has given us a great gift in these weeks that are upcoming. I should also note, and Scott, I'm going to turn things over to you in just a second to do communion, but the very last week of this month, we've invited Mark Lynch to be here. Mark is he's our first line when a person expresses interest in being a missionary. Mark Lynch is who the national office sends people to. And we've invited Mark to come here because we have had so many young people showing interest in missions from Long Beach Alliance Church, folks like Sarah Davis and others. Sarah, who is serving overseas right now on a short-term mission, kind of a long-term, short-term mission. But Sarah, who's overseas right now, and folks like her have expressed interest. Mark called me and said, could I just come and speak at your church during missions conference next year? Called me like a year ago. And I said, yeah, it's that'd be great. And so I just want to invite you. We're going to have question and answer times with Mark. We're going to have opportunities, especially for our young people, our junior high school, and college students to meet with Mark. But I just want to encourage you to engage the mission. Engage what Jesus Christ has for us. Engage what the opportunities are in these weeks that are ahead. This is not a break. This is a step forward into what Jesus Christ will have for us.